Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Man, wasn't Sunday amazing? The first installment of the Jonah series. Absolutely incredible. If you missed it, you want to go back and watch it, because it really sets the tone for what I believe God is going to do through the series as we cover those messages. But you'll know if you're here that at the beginning of the message, one of the first things that Pastor John threw out was a question. And that question was simply this: what is God speaking to you? What is God speaking to you? And the reason that question came out at the beginning of the message was because it's bound up in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the book. When you go to Jonah chapter 1, in verse 1, we read this, which is kind of hard to read. Okay, there we go. You're like, wow, it's like a magic eye. Somebody knows what a magic eye is. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The truth of the matter is this, that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we would understand, and you need to understand, that everything starts with a word from the Lord. Everything starts with the word of the Lord. And in your home, everything should start with the word of the Lord. In your marriage, everything should start with the word of the Lord. In your decision-making, in your future planning, in your career decisions, everything needs to start. Everything should start with a word from the Lord, whether it's personal, it's business, it's relational. No matter what it is, everything should start with a word from the Lord. And what's very clear is that the writer of this book doesn't want us to breeze over those opening words. The reason that I know that is because this is the only book in the whole Bible, in the whole Bible, that starts with that phrasing. The whole book, the whole Bible, Jonah's the only one that starts like this, where the writer, we don't know who wrote the book of Jonah, but whoever wrote it knew under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this was going to be a really big deal, that this was going to be the catalyst to God doing what he wanted to do in Jonah and through Jonah. And he also understood that us getting a hold of this is the catalyst to God doing what he wants to do in and through us. Yeah. I don't know what God wants to do through you, but he does. And honestly, can I tell you something? You don't know what God wants to do through you. You say, well, God, I feel like I have had a word from God. You don't know the end of the story, but it's better than you can begin to imagine. God has bigger plans for you than you can dream up. He's got something in store for you, and so you don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss. Whatever God wants to do, I want to get a hold of that. Now, that phrasing, this phrasing right here, it does show up in the Old Testament quite a few times. Actually, 112 times different variations of this show up in the Old Testament alone. But in Jonah, it starts at the very beginning, because we need to be asking the question, what is God speaking to me? You need to be asking the question, what is God speaking to me? And I want us to notice two truths about the way that God spoke to Jonah and the way that he wants to speak to you and to me, the way that he wants to speak to us. Notice this about the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came suddenly. This is the first aspect. It's seemingly out of nowhere. The word of the Lord came suddenly. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came. It's almost as if we're picking up the story in progress. Like there's been some stuff going on that we're not fully aware of. And we learned on Sunday, we get a little bit of a picture about what's happening perhaps in the life of Jonah. But the story, the way that it starts, gives the distinct impression that what we're reading is the continuation of account that is already underway. Jonah is living his life. Jonah's made plans. Jonah's got his calendars full. Jonah, you know, he knows what he's eating for breakfast tomorrow, and he's happy about it. Like, he's got things like places to go, people to see, appointments to keep. The implication is that Jonah's not sitting around waiting for a word from God. That's just not where he's at. Like, he's not expecting it. He's not praying for it. He's not asking God, God, speak to me. God, show me what you want me to do next. Now, out of the blue, in the midst of the routine, totally unexpected, seemingly out of nowhere, God speaks. Have you ever experienced that? Where you were just minding your own business. You're just like, hey, I'm just doing my thing. I'm happy about it. I'm not sad, I'm not mad, like I'm just in the middle. Like I'm not like over the top, I'm just like really even keel right now. I mean, things seem to be on the right track. I feel good about the direction that I'm going. I feel good about the way that my days look. I'm just kind of in the middle right now. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that, God speaks. All of a sudden, in the midst of that, God throws Jonah a curveball, a holy curveball, into the midst of his complacency. And Jonah's just going about his business. But the truth is that God often speaks to us. God, I think he enjoys it. That he enjoys speaking to people when we least expect it. Because he wants to take us, like I said just a moment ago, he wants to take you beyond where you would take yourself. If we're left to ourselves, if we get to chart our own course, guess what happens? Things get really, really predictable and really, really natural, not supernatural. God wants to do not just the natural with your life, he wants to do the supernatural with and through your life, which requires you to have some moments where it's now, in the midst of the normal, in the midst of the everyday, when you least expected it, when you didn't see it coming, all of a sudden God interrupts your regularly scheduled programming and says, oh, I got something to say to you. I want to do something. I want to redirect. I want to course correct. I want to move you beyond yourself. I don't want to just do the natural, and I don't want you to just do the natural. I want to do something supernatural through you. So the first is that we notice that the word of the Lord came suddenly. The second is that it came sovereignly. The word of the Lord came sovereignly. And at the risk of being painfully obvious, I just want to ask you, who was the word from? The Lord. Yeah, it's not a trick question. It was from the Lord. Look, go back to verse 1. Apparently, we need to be reminded a little bit. Now, the word of the Lord, there it is, came, thank you, Josh, came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. Now, think about this for a second. It didn't come with hardly any explanation. The word of the Lord here is not flowery. You know, like this is one sentence. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and what we know is that it's brief, it's direct, and it's urgent. Oh, yeah, there's also a whole lot of reasons why it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, okay, given what we know about Nineveh from Sunday, given what we know about the people of Nineveh, there's a whole lot of objections reasonable in our eyes and in our mind, and perhaps reasonable in Jonah's mind, certainly reasonable in his mind, why this assignment doesn't make any sense, why what God is saying to him seems to be a little out of alignment with what reason would say to him. And too often what happens is that we're prone to respond to God's word only when we think it makes sense. That if it makes sense for my family, oh God, I'll totally do that. If, you know, if my kids weren't in school right now, that would make so much sense. If I didn't have a kid going to college, wow, that would be awesome. If we didn't have a baby on the way, totally, we'd be all over that, God. Oh, if I didn't have this relationship that I just started, God, that, you know, but I'm really thinking this could be the one. And you mean, you know that because you're the one who set it up, you know? So like, you wouldn't ask me to do that and give me this. Like, that doesn't make any sense. God, you know our financial situation. You know what we've been trying to do. You know what we're trying to accomplish. God, surely you can understand why what you're speaking to me doesn't make any sense. That's where Jonah's at. But can I remind you of something? That the fact that something that you think God might be speaking to you doesn't make sense is not an indication that it's not from God. It's probably an indication that it is from God. And there was like five yes to that. Because that's a hard thing to get a hold of. Because we like things that make sense. We like A plus B equals C. Oh, God, I can totally get behind that. But when God says, no, 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 think about this. Jesus saying to Peter, hey, you know what? It is me. I'm the one who's walking to you in the storm. Go ahead and come out of the boat and walk on water. Does that make sense? No! And yet that's what God is always asking us to do. That's what he continually, constantly asks you to do. Why? Because he wants to do something through you that could never, ever, ever happen on your own. Ever. The God of heaven and earth sees you where you're at. He sees the limitations or the perceived limitations of your situation and says, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, see, like, I created the heavens and the earth, so not a big deal. Like, I'm not worried that you're saving for a car and you can't step out right now. Guess what? I made cars. Like, I made all the raw elements that made a car. I'm good. Like, I'm not worried that you're worried about that relationship and how things are going to turn out and if she's going to think you're churchy. If she thinks that, you got a problem already. She ought to think you're churchy and love it, bro. That's where she ought to be. Guess what? You don't have to worry about trusting God with your relationships. He's really good at relationships. Two people named Adam and Eve who figured that one out. Like, he's good at that. He's good at bringing people together. He's good at sustaining them. And you trusting God and you stepping out will never jeopardize God's best for you, ever. It may jeopardize your best for you, but it will not jeopardize the best for you. God is speaking, and he speaks sovereignly, and he speaks with authority, and sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, but that's okay, because he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he's the God of all creation, and he sees the end from the beginning and everything in between, and guess what? He's got you. He's got you. He speaks sovereignly. Not only might it not make that much sense sometimes to us, but the second aspect of how God speaks sovereignly to Jonah is that is kind of more implicit than explicit. And that is that the writer doesn't tell us how God spoke to him. Wouldn't you like to know that? How did God speak to Jonah? How does God want to speak to me? How? How? We don't know how the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And I think that might be kind of part of the point, because we don't need to know. Our job is not to dictate how God speaks to us. Our job is to take care of our response to whatever he speaks to us and however he chooses to speak to us. The fact of the matter is that God speaks to people in all kinds of ways, that God is always speaking through his word. You can always know that. If you've got a verse, oh, he's speaking. He's talking to you. But the truth of the matter is this, that God speaks in all sorts of ways. He speaks through other people, right? He speaks through your spouse. He speaks through your spouse. Somebody's like, yes, Jesus, Lord, thank you for that. He speaks through your spouse. He speaks through your boss. He speaks through your coworkers. He speaks through people. He speaks through his creation. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through angels. He speaks through impressions, things he lays on your heart. He speaks through your path. Have you ever seen that happen where it just seems like you can't get away from something? You felt something in a service, or you felt something as you were reading God's word, and you're like, nah, that's not God. And then you bump into, like, you pick a coffee mug up and it's like got that scripture on it. And then you run into somebody at Walmart and they're wearing a t-shirt that says, you're like, what? That can't be God. Not God. Not God. Not, you know, you literally have to talk yourself out of the fact that God is speaking to you. God speaks in all sorts of ways. The issue is not, how is he going to speak to me? The issue is, what will I do when he does? What have you done when he did? Because there are some here, and the question is not, actually, not some, everybody here, those watching online. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? Tonight, are you listening? And if you are listening, then the question is not just, am I listening or are you listening, but am I obeying and are you obeying? What have you done with what he said? What are you doing with what he spoke? And here's what I would say tonight. There's some, and you would say, to be quite honest, God has spoken to your heart about something and it scared you to death. Or quite frankly, you just didn't want to do it. And you've come into God's presence tonight, and he is chasing you down. Because here's what he's saying to you. You can trust me. I'm out for your good. I want to be better to you than you can be to yourself, but I can't do that if you don't trust me. I can't do that if you won't listen. I can't do that if you won't obey. I can't. You can trust him. You can trust him. There are others, and you're in the middle of a situation where you believe God is speaking, and you're just trying to discern what that means and how you need to respond to that. And here's what I would just say to you. Lean into it. Lean into it. You don't have to be afraid to listen to the voice of God. And there are still others where, honestly, right now, tonight, you're just minding your own business. You're like, it's a Wednesday. I'm at the prayer meeting. I'm just minding my own business. And God wants to give you a now moment. Oh, watch out. You weren't expecting it tonight. But the God of heaven and earth wants to speak to you. And our job in that is not to figure out why or how or what. Our job is just to lean in to the God who speaks and say, God, I'm all ears. Speak to me.